Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on August 2nd, 2015, and is entitled, The Art of Going to Church.
Well, friends, once again, good morning. I'm getting my Bible ready, and the back of the bulletin, you'll see today's message. We just got word that our GO team to Rosarito, Mexico has crossed the border. And so Mike Workman prayed them over, and so they crossed the border in 30 minutes. But let's just pray real quick. Shall we do that? And just, there's 26 of them. We hope to have them come back. They might be here by the time I'm done preaching at 1 o'clock. What do you think? Just keep it stretched out. But Lord, thank you for your goodness to bring the GO team and the leadership safe. And Lord, we want to rejoice in the stories and the changed lives that have happened, both with the team and those in Mexico. And we pray for our church, our daughter church, the Hope Chapel Rosarito, Pastors Don and Sandy. And Lord, thank you as they celebrate their 7th anniversary this month. Lord, prosper that church and may the good fruit and hard work that's been laid out over the years and this last 10 days just go on indefinitely for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, just want to add, open our hearts as we open the word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, hey, I want to just thank you. Let's take a look at Bible attendance this Sunday. How many just raise your Bible up? Let's see, or electronic Bibles. Oh, Bible attendance is up. It's up. We're getting excited about that. Isn't that amazing? Thank you for that. And if you don't have a Bible, and we encourage you to, if you just raise your hand, we'll make sure the ushers put a Bible in your hand. That would be important because we're going to the book of Ecclesiastes today. Well, what a joy. Once again, Ainsley and I have come back from vacation. We're thrilled to see you're here. Hope that you've had an enjoyable time in our beautiful city of Huntington Beach. Aren't you thrilled? People are driving and flying for miles to come to downtown Huntington Beach, and I think they've all come this weekend. Aren't you amazed at that? Hello. So what a thrill we are to be together and to be around the Word of the Lord. I want to just tell you, friends, not only my great love for the Lord, but my love for the Scriptures. And what a delight to be there in Oregon. And though you would see squirrels and deer and be among pine trees and just the Rogue River, just beautiful settings. It's just something about that where you don't have actual people that love the Lord too. And I thought, you know, I'm missing an ingredient, and that's Jesus, people. So we love you. We missed you while we were in Oregon. You're one of the reasons why we're back here and because of God's call on our life to serve you. So thank you for allowing us to be here and to be together around the Word of God. Very important for us. Well, I've been spending some time with Solomon, King Solomon, and the Bible says that he was the smartest man at that time ever, and he had great wealth. And we're going to the book of Ecclesiastes. So if you find, you crack the middle of your Bible, you should find Psalm, the book of Psalms. And then you go to the right, you'll find Proverbs. Then you go to the right again, you'll find Ecclesiastes. That's where we're going, chapter 5. And taking a look at, it's amazing because the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is writing about trying to find meaning in life apart from God. So you have this phrase, under the sun. All is vanity of vanities under the sun. In other words, there's no meaning without God. And this guy has all the resources ever. I mean, man, he went at it by just discovering I'm going to be a builder, so he builds. That's meaningless to him, still empty. I'm going to build vineyards. I'm going to see the party atmosphere is all about it. So, man, if there's, he put out the vineyards and the wine, and he said, that's not it. Come out of his stupor. That's still vanity. He went at it with regards to complete pleasure and serving myself. That guy had a lot of servants. Then he says, well, maybe the sexual aspects. I mean, how, any guy with 300 wives and 700 concubines, you could just kind of say, and that was meaningless to him. Isn't it nice to know he went at all that, and we don't have to go and experience that. He finally said the conclusion in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes is to serve the Lord while you have your youth, because the day is going to come, you're not going to have the energy as an older person. That's his conclusion. And I would just say, too, it's an amazing thing. Solomon, smart as he was, he did not end well. He did not follow the Lord to the end of his days. And he's the one guy you would think who'd be in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. He's not in the Heroes Hall of Faith. I mean, anybody that has substance and trust in his material possessions doesn't really need to have faith for God for his daily rent. Isn't that true? Or his proceeds for food and sustenance. It's just, he didn't have anything of faith going on. But he had something that went on there, and it's from the book of Ecclesiastes, came across the aspect of tending church, and I call it the art of going to church. And that's the title of the message. I wanted to just mention that because I believe, I'm a churchman, I love the local church. I think God works through the local church throughout our nation, and our nation needs you. Therefore, we're just going to take a look at the church over these next couple of Sundays and just see what God is saying and doing, because Jesus is the one that built the church. He said that, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So the art of going to church, and why did I bring up the art of going to church? Somebody once said about marriage, have you ever heard this phrase? He basically said this, to be married, well, that's easy. To be married for a long time, committed to it, that's a little more work. To be happily married for a long, long time, that's a work of art. Well, I want to just add that with church. To go to church, that's easy. To continue with church, that's a little more difficult. To be faithfully committed to a church for a long, long time. Now, baby, that's a work of art. How many know that? Isn't that true? Everybody say amen. Okay, yeah, thank you. Don't want to force that on you, but it is kind of nice to kind of realize that. But we do want to remember that. So we're taking a look. Some people go to church for good reasons, some for not so good reasons. Good reasons really are our deep love for God. Couldn't wait to get back to just worshiping the Lord with you in a group setting. It is so encouraging for me to see you here today. Realize, look at, they're still following God and still serving the Lord. There are others that might go to church for maybe not all the right reasons, maybe out of fear. Some people, because of superstition, they say, well, I think God should let me go to heaven because, well, I've attended church while on earth as often as I possibly could. So that's superstition. There are some that go to church out of duty. Hey, I'm a U.S. citizen. We're Christians predominantly. Or I'm a parent. I need to bring my children to church, so it's more out of duty. Some go to church because of romance. You know, the larger the church, the bigger the pool of resources. So whatever the reason for that, that it could be as serious as insomnia. They come to church because the only time they sleep is during Pastor Paul's sermon, and they need to catch up on their rest. But that's all right. You're here. Hey, we're all good. But we're taking a look at Solomon, because in this, we're dealing with what he has to say about those that go to the house of the Lord. And Solomon is speaking here, and he actually calls himself the preacher. In Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2, the preacher says, and that's important to know. And actually, the book of Ecclesiastes means, and really the preacher really means Ecclesiastes. That's what preacher means in Greek, Ecclesiastes. That word has a root word called ekklesia. We get our word ekklesia, church. And Ecclesiastes or ekklesia is really a gathering of. We say the church is a gathering of people in a pursuit or location, the church. But in this, we have Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the preacher. He's gathering information or common knowledge or philosophy. He's gathering that in this book. That's why it's called Ecclesiastes. He's trying to find meaning to life with all the philosophies and experiences he can gather. So the preacher's doing that. So we're hearing that, and he's now taking a look at some things that he has noted about people going to church. Now, this is the church he has built. It's called Solomon's Temple. It was one of the wonders of the world. It was an amazing structure. But let's look at verse chapter 5, verse 1. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know that they do evil. And do not be rash with your mouth, and let your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. And when you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. And pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. And do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity, but fear God. So let's take a look here a little bit, and we want this to be an encouraging word, but it is helpful. There is an art to going before God, and there's some things to actually take a look here where it would be helpful for us to see and to perceive. And we could see three of them. One is watch your approach to God. The other, watch your affirmation of God. And the third, watch your attitude towards God. Let's take a look at number one, watch your approach to God. And there's three of them. The first would be the ceremonial approach. Look at verse 1. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Now, first of all, it's interesting because you and I are aware in the Old Testament setting, that's the setting here, that it was required of God that God wanted people to bring in an animal sacrifice to make atonement for them. And so they would do that. And so that sacrifice would come. But they were living a double standard. That's what he's bringing in here. There's a sacrifice of fool. What does he mean? They were maintaining the ceremonial law. Here's my animal sacrifice, God. But the moral law in the everyday living wasn't happening for them. Therefore, they're saying, man, they're offering the sacrifice of fools. They're doing what's right on that setting coming in. But when it really matters, God wants both to be measured together. Keep that ceremonial law, but man, keep the moral law as well. And so there are just examples that are out there. And probably the first one is King Saul. Remember him in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22? Man, that guy started off so humble and so great. And then all of a sudden he became very disobedient. But he continued on making animal sacrifices. Man, this prophet called Samuel shows up and says, hey, listen, O king, man, God would prefer obedience rather than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. So it's important for us to recognize that. And sometimes we, as people, in a setting, I know I was brought up in that kind of regiment where the ceremonial thing was all about, but my family's morality wasn't really quite where it was at. Sacerdotalism is a theological word. Sacerdotalism basically is this. It is the giving of sacraments by ordained clergy to distribute grace. That's what sacerdotalism is. It's the sacerdotal duties of a minister. That is marrying and burying and giving the communion elements and giving. That's basically. But what happens with people in my setting is that we started to feel, well, I was baptized, therefore I'm safe. I was confirmed. See, I have confidence in the sacraments, but yet the morality of changed life wasn't really happening. And that's what Solomon's addressing. He says, man, they're offering just the sacrifice. It's kind of an endless, bottomless nowhereville. There can be those individuals that would say, well, guess what? Man, I've even had communion today. I think I'm going to be okay. The sacraments came. Therefore, everything's right with me. But we have to be careful, do we not? Remember Cain and Abel? Abel's offering was received. Cain got ticked off. His wasn't received. What was going on? And God even helped him. Man, and that's in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. God comes up and says, Cain, why are you so angry? And then he just gives him the tip. If you do good, won't you be accepted? I mean, it's no brainer. And so that's important for us to recognize that ceremonial approach. I'm just coming because I'm doing my ceremony. But there's nothing of any form of lasting or real moral aspects beyond that setting. How about letter B, the superficial approach? Let's look at verse 2. And do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven and you on earth. When we take a look at that, isn't that interesting? Now, nobody knows what another man is thinking, but man, Solomon is just kind of laying it on out there, that superficial approach, basically that word rash, do not be rash with your mouth. It literally means to kind of hurry it up with your speech. Let's just go ahead and bring that speech in there quickly. Matter of fact, let's be quick with the church. I've got stuff to do, and we can actually just think that, man, it's just, I don't have the time for all this, and we're rash, we're quick. And matter of fact, there could even be those that just say, I'm going to say a lot of words. It can go in that direction. I'm just going to speak a lot of words, and God's going to hear me. But you remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, where Jesus was concerned when he's talking about the Lord's Prayer, Our Father? He just says, be careful about vain repetition. Vain repetition. That verse actually says, when you pray, do not be like the heathen who think they will be heard by their many words. So sometimes a memorized prayer said many, many, many times. So we take a look at that superficial approach. Be careful. That's what the Bible's saying about just having words. Get on with it. Get it over with so I can move on with situations. Being careful about that. So it's important for us to recognize that and needed to see. I like what John Bunyan said when he, you know, the dude that wrote Pilgrim's Progress, he said this, in prayer, it's better to have a prayer without words than to have words without a heart. So I can see, can't you? God's the one that, he really checks out what's going on the inside. Don't fear. And he's just such a good God anyway, just kind of help us to nail it always. He just kind of brings us back on in because he just loves being with us. He likes hearing our genuine heart. Transparency is just, I mean, accountability. Man, that's really where it's at with God. Well, letter C, the sincere approach. Let's go back to verse 1. Can you see verse 1, first half? Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear. Now, let's look here for a moment. The sincere approach, isn't it interesting? The opening command is this, to walk prudently. That literally means be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared when you and I come into a form of worship. To be prepared, what does that verse say? Come into the house of the Lord, draw near to hear. Being prepared to say God could actually speak to you. Did we not exercise that this morning? Did we not just say, let's see if you can hear from God today? Wouldn't it be great that every waking moment, God speaking to you, and you'll know it's the Lord. He's always so good and reassuring. He's never condemning. He'll never put you down. Why would he? He died for you. Come on. Why would he turn around and try to burn you after going to such great lengths with the glorious gospel of Jesus? Man. So when we take a look at this, we come and we prepare ourselves. Why? Because God's going to speak. God's going to do a work and it's going to be ideal. How can we prepare ourselves? Well, besides the usual, because you always look so good here at Hope Chapel. I mean, look at that. I mean, most of us have had our weekly shower. All of us have somehow combed our hair. We got on and even went so far as put on deodorant. We're looking good. But being prepared has a little bit more to do, and that is this, where we're dealing with things and saying, Lord, how can I commit this day to you? I want to encourage you with that one. When you wake up, Lord, I commit this day to you. I am not sure what this day is. I just know that, Lord, I'm in it with you. How is it that I can cooperate? So verse 1 again, draw near to hear. Draw near to hear. Where is it that you draw near to hear from God? Wow, you can do that. God speaks all the time. God speaks all the time. I'm not always in the best position to hear God speak. But if he can speak through a rooster that crows three times, he can use just about anything. Huh? I think in the Old Testament, didn't he speak through a donkey? Huh? Hello? So I'm so glad he uses donkeys like me to speak. I just think that's amazing and very encouraging. So when we take a look here, it's important that we once again remind ourselves that God does speak, and we need to prepare ourselves. Wouldn't it be a great gift if you personally were invited to the White House? Or how about to the United Nations? And you were going to say something. Wouldn't you prepare yourself? I would. And we have opportunity to come into the presence of the Lord. And do we, can I prepare myself? That's important. When you come into the house of the Lord, what do I do? What do I do? Draw near to hear. Draw near to hear. Walt Whitman was a great poet. He said, to have great poets, we need to have great audiences. And to have great preachers, he'd have great audience that said, man, I can hardly wait to hear the word of God. I want to hear something from the Lord today. Very, very important. Number two, watch your affirmation of God. Let's take a look at that. In verse 2, do not be rash with your, verse 4, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not to pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. So that's important. Let's take a look for a moment. I thought, wow, that is interesting, because watch our affirmation. When we say affirm or we are declaring, you know, one of the greatest things that happens in our lives is when we make a decision to do something of God's word. Isn't that true? Jesus said that so clearly, that, and if you know these things, happy are you if you do them, not if you just know them. So that's important for us to recognize the importance of God's word when he comes along and says something like that. And that verse is in John 13, verse 17. If you know these things, the blessing comes not because you know them, but if you do them. So our affirmation. But when we talk about vows, you know that God never requires a vow. Matter of fact, the scripture does talk in the Old Testament about vows in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and Numbers 22. When a person does speak a vow before God, I promise, I pledge, but it's never required. God does not ask us to make vows. There are areas of how to pursue in the Old Testament of holy days and feast days, but he never said, I want you to promise me things. I know this because he knows we're weak in our ability to do and to follow through. It's called the keeping of the law. Once you, have any of you ever said, I'm going to read my Bible through this year, and come about Leviticus, you say, I'm over this. Lord, don't burn me. I'm sorry. I pledge I was going to do this. And so it's just our humanness. It's our flesh. Once we say something, there's something in us that just says, I'm not. And then the condemnation, the guilt and shame that follows. So God really doesn't put us up to that. But he says, if you do, follow through with it. There must have been something that was happening at that time. I know there's been times that I have made vows, and this in my journey, I remember early on, two ways with which I felt I have sinned in areas of vows. One was, I made a vow with no intention of keeping it. Yeah, because I just couldn't say no. Another one was where I just would delay the keeping of the vow. I'm hoping that they'll all forget so I don't have to do it. Anybody else out there like that? Cricket, cricket, yeah, okay. Well, that's my journey. And man, it's terrible to feel that way, but here's the point. That affirmation of ours, the great joy is when we say, Lord, I want to follow what I feel you have for me to do. Those are important. That's kind of like Jesus said in Matthew 16:13, who do men say that I am? Who do you say now that I am? Do we still say that he is that way? I think there's probably three vows that I think are very important just to remind ourselves, and they're very true, and the first vow is to God. How many remember? I remember. We vow to make Jesus our Lord and Savior. That's a vow. God, I commit my life to you. That's one. Second one is we vow to our spouse. We got married. Man, it's tough. Marriage is tough. But I remember these little lines in there, for better, for worse, for richer, for in sickness and in health. I mean, those are tough days. And we want the people to work through that. And the third would be our vow to the church. There can be those times that we tell that minister of God, verse 6 says, yes, you can count on me every other month, but schedule changes, and we just can't follow through with that. But that church belongs to Jesus. We really have to be very, very careful. Man, it's a joy to serve God. What does that look like? Serve the body of Christ. So maintaining those vows are important. And then finally, it's wonderful when we get a chance. Make sure. I just think the only other thing that I find myself, I've said, Lord, if you will break me free from this area, I pledge $1,000 to missions. Has anybody ever? Then all of a sudden God does it, and we somehow don't have the wherewithal. Be careful about it. In other words, we bribe God. Anyway, let's take a look at number 3, and we'll kind of bring it to this conclusion. Watch your attitude toward God. Verse 7, take a look at that. Love that area where he says very clearly, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity, but fear God, which means have a deep respect for the Lord. Regardless of what's going on, bring him into your situation, friends. That means not a terrorizing fear, though proper healthy fear will move us into action. But fear the Lord in such a way, just like life has been, someone said, life is made up of 10% of what happens to you and me, and not everything that happens is good, right? 90% of how we respond to what's happening to us. Respond in a right way. Pause. Be careful. Don't go into a negative attitude. Watch out for that. See how God kind of works that out and deals with our life and our heart. And you're going to find an amazing turnaround of events. Amazing turnaround of events. So as we take a look here today and we welcome our worship team back up, number one, how we approach the temple or the work of God, the house of God. How do we go about that? Make sure, let's prepare our hearts. And number two, make sure we're going to make our affirmation. If you vow anything, you hear God speak to you, man, work through that. If we fall short, aren't we gratefully so merciful? But keep at it. Keep at it when God asks us to do something, and be careful. Have a right fear of the Lord. Here's the key to coming to the Lord. Man, it's all about Him, isn't it? Isn't it all about Him? It really is. Remember that old song, we're coming back to the heart of worship? It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. That's really what church is all about, too. I'm coming to church. It's all about you, Lord. Many times, if people were to be honest, we'd say worship is really all about us. It fits our schedule. It fits our children's agenda. Really, it's more about us and very little about the Lord. But we're seeing here clearly, and our nation needs the church. And it really starts with one person at a time. God's made some great promises to us, and I'm telling you, He's going to fulfill them. So let's maintain good health. I believe this is going to be Hope Chapel's finest hour. And this end of the year run for 2015, what a great year. What a great year. Because of you and Jesus. What a great team that you make. Well, I'm going to encourage you. Let's go ahead and let's close our Bibles. And let me just pray in just one moment as we allow the Lord just to speak to our hearts on a couple of things. Friends, I'm going to invite you. Would you stand to your feet with me? We want to continue on with that worship song, but I'm going to invite those individuals that are here to pray. We welcome people to come forward for altar prayer. If you're needing healing or an answer, somebody to agree with you, come forward, let them know your name and what your need is. We're not here to counsel. We're here to see miracles. And this is Casual Communion Sunday. If you somehow may have reconsidered or came in late, didn't get communion, communion trays are stationed by the rock walls. Please help yourself. Just go over there, get a communion cup, have that time during the worship song, have communion. By yourself or with someone else, okay? So glad that you're here today. What a joy. Let's go and enjoy our fellowship outside in the courtyard. Let me pray a blessing over you as you go. Thank you for coming. You did well. Now, I know this message was for the persons down the street. Thank you for being faithful to come into the house of the Lord. But isn't it good how God speaks and has great hope for each and every one? So, Father, we want to thank you for your goodness. And, Lord, as we just have heard and been around you and in your presence and in your word, thank you for ministering life to everyone in their work, in their studies, and in their homes, in their communities. Lord, let the kingdom of God come. As your word says in Romans 14, that the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Lord, let those mark each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll see you out front. You're dismissed.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.